Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, to the saints in Ephesus, the faithful in Christ Jesus, grace and peace to you from our God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ.
Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure and will, to praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins, in accordance with the riches of God's grace that he lavished on us with all wisdom and understanding. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ.
In him we were also chosen, having been predestined according to the plan of him who works out everything in conformity with the purpose of his will, in order that we, who were the first hope in Christ, might be for the praise of his glory. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory.
Brilliant. Thank you both very much indeed. Do keep that passage open. That will be very helpful to you. A couple of other helps today. So one is a few things will appear on the screen as we go through. And if you are one of our lasers today, you should have your own exclusive blue handout. So you might want to grab one of those. There are probably some more at the back if you've lost one. Wave a hand if you need one. But the main help we need is from God himself as we open his word. So let's pray that he'd help us. Heavenly Father, we thank you that you've spoken to us in your word. But we pray that you'd speak to us today as we look at it. We pray you'd speak to our hearts. Show us the things we need to understand. Show us the things that we need to change. And we pray that your word would work in us to make us more like Jesus. And we ask that in his name. Amen. I have a daydream from time to time. I wonder if you can identify with my daydream. I dream of what you might call a gold card lifestyle. That's where I'm a member of some sort of club where my membership sort of opens every door in life and grants me every privilege. So I imagine myself going to a fancy restaurant, maybe, or a swanky hotel. And when I get to the desk, they say, oh, sorry, we're all booked. But then I pull out my gold card and hand it over. And they say, oh, no, oh, do come this way. No, we do have something for you, after all. Tickets for sporting events, concerts. They say, sorry, we were sold out months ago. I say, well, that's a shame. I go through this every time. And they'd say, oh, hang on, I do have this card. I don't know if that helps. And they say, oh, why didn't you say so, sir? Sorry, was it Centre Court that you wanted? And it would carry on. I'm sorry, it doesn't reflect well on me, does it? That I have this. But now and again, I just sort of dream of this sort of membership by which all the good things in life would come my way. Well, over the next few weeks, we're going to be thinking about just that kind of membership as we look at what the Bible teaches about Christians being united to Jesus Christ. So the topic of our next few weeks is union with Christ. Union with Christ. That's what this teaching is usually called, or being one with Christ. So what we're saying is this: if you're a Christian, there is a spiritual bond between you and Jesus Christ, a spiritual bond between you and Jesus. Now, if that sounds a bit strange to you, that's not surprising. It's fair to say it's not something that we're in the habit of talking about or thinking about, although some might remember in our recent series in Colossians, it cropped up in chapter 3 there. But on the whole, we don't pay this idea much attention, but I think we need to start to think more about it because it's all over the New Testament. Sometimes it's very explicit. So look at this verse from Galatians 2, verse 20. Paul says, "I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me." Let's look at that verse. Normally, when we talk about the cross, we're used to saying, "Jesus died for me." You know, he died in my place. He died as my substitute. And that's quite right. We rejoice in that. Jesus did die for us. But notice, Paul says here, "I have been crucified with Christ," which is a different way of talking about it, isn't it? He's saying we are somehow united with him when he died. Or look at the other part of the verse. We're accustomed to saying Jesus has given us life, where eternal life is a gift he gives to us. Again, that's true. Praise God. Great gift. But here, Paul puts it in a different way. He says, Christ lives in me, which is different. We're united to him. So it's not that one way of talking is right and the other's wrong. They're just different ways of bringing out the great riches of what Jesus has done for us. So sometimes it's really obvious like that. But more often, the references are more subtle. So Paul, he'll be talking about something else, but then he'll refer to Christians as people who are in Christ. And you need to look out for that little phrase, in Christ. It occurs about 80 times in all of Paul's letters. So we need to think about this, don't we? Because it's all over the New Testament, whether we notice it or not. But another reason to think about it is because it is just one of the most encouraging ways the Bible describes what it means to be a Christian. So let me say to you, if you're a believer, but you're someone who feels often unsure about your faith, so maybe you feel guilty about your sin, or maybe you feel it's very hard to live for Jesus, or maybe you feel that being a Christian means that you really miss out a lot in life, can I say that this is priceless? This is really, really encouraging. And I'm praying that we'll be massively encouraged over the next few weeks. But we're going to start today by seeing just how privileged we are if we are united with Christ. So remember that gold card lifestyle, where every good thing comes your way if you're a member of the club. Well, basically, that's Paul's point in this amazing passage from Ephesians 1. Now, you can see the headline, Paul's headline, in verse 3. Look at verse 3. "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Okay, so here's the big point. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. In Christ, we have every spiritual blessing. Now, the word blessing, one of those religious words, isn't it? We often use it without thinking. But basically, a blessing is a gift. And it's a gift that is really worth having. And Paul says that those who are in Christ, Christians, people united to Jesus, God has given you every gift that is really ultimately worth having. He hasn't held back any of his spiritual blessings. If you're in Christ, you've been given everything, everything. Which sounds amazing unless you're thinking, hold on, I've noticed there's a catch here. Verse 3 says these blessings are in the heavenly realms. So I haven't got them now or here. It says they're spiritual blessings. So maybe you're thinking, oh, I get it. These are kind of God things. These are spiritual things. These aren't the gifts that I'm after in life. These aren't the gifts that me and my friends want. I want things like wealth and gadgets and designer clothes. I want to be popular. I want success in my work. And I want exotic holidays and instant health and bigger and better cars and holidays. And I have to say, you're absolutely right. God is not promising or that Christians will be given any or all of these things at all. Although, sadly, there are preachers around the world today, many preachers who do promise health and riches to people, usually if they give money. you need to know they're distorting the Bible. They're twisting God's word. And it's a very cruel thing to do. Being a Christian does not guarantee that all will go well, an easy and comfortable life. But the Bible would also say this. It would say that the prizes of this world that we so often want, they can't satisfy us, and more importantly, they will not last. They're perishing. Whereas these blessings that God gives us, though they may be spiritual, they're the most precious things in all the world, and they will last forever. These things will last forever. So let's look at what these blessings are. What are the kind of privileges of being a member of this club? The blessings that come to those who are in Christ. Paul lists five. The first is this. We've been chosen by God. We've been chosen by God. You need to look at verse 4. Paul says, "For he chose us in him," there's that phrase, "in him," in Christ, "before the creation of the world, to be holy and blameless in his sight." It's really nice in life, isn't it, when somebody chooses you for a special job. Maybe you've been chosen to represent your school in sport or music or drama or something else. It's a really good feeling to be chosen. Well, Paul is saying, if you're a Christian, if you're in Christ, God has chosen you to belong to him. What's more, and this is really mind-blowing, did you see verse 4? He chose you before the creation of the world. Now, just think about that. Even before God said, "Let there be light," he had decided he wanted you to be one of his people. Amazing. Isn't that amazing? It is amazing. Although it has to be said, this teaching does get Christians scratching their heads a bit sometimes. Gets us a bit worried. But Paul would say, if we're worried about this teaching, we're kind of thinking about it the wrong way, because it's a blessing. It's one of God's greatest gifts. More than that, it's something to sort of sing and shout about. Paul is saying here, praise God. Praise God for this wonderful blessing. So why is it such a blessing to be chosen by God? Well, let me tell you. The reason is because the Bible tells us if God didn't choose us, we would never choose him, because our sin affects us so deeply. So let me put it like this. Even if you had 10,000 opportunities to turn to Jesus, you would turn down every single one without God choosing you. You'd want nothing to do with him. And so Paul says, if you're a Christian, if you are following Jesus Christ, you can be sure that before the world began, he had you in mind. He wanted to make you one of his people. Now, you might ask, well, why did God choose me and not someone else? And God hasn't told us that, which is probably just as well. But one thing is clear. He didn't choose us because of anything in us. He didn't look at us and think, oh, that person's a bit better than that person, so I'll have you. No, he chose us in Christ. Now, this is a bit hard to get our heads around, but what Paul is saying is that God never thought of us, if we're his people, he never thought of us apart from Jesus. So it wasn't dependent on anything in us, our good character or our good record or our effort. It was just dependent on him. Now, I know it's a bit mind-stretching, this, isn't it? But even if we struggle to understand, don't miss what good news it is. Good news to know we've been chosen. And it's particularly good news if you're struggling in the Christian life. And we all struggle, don't we? So if you're feeling weary as a Christian, or if you feel that your faith in Jesus is really feeble, at those times, well, if everything depended on my choice to trust and follow Jesus, well, I might think, I'm not sure I can do it. But it's brilliant at those times to think, no, I might be weary, and it might be that my prayers are feeble, and I may fail in many ways, but before the world began, God chose me to belong to him. It's a great encouragement. It's the first great blessing. God chose us. Here's the second. We are adopted as God's children. We're adopted as God's children. Look at verse 5. In love, he predestined us to be adopted as his sons through Jesus Christ. So in other words, God has brought us officially into his family. We belong to him as his children. Now, being adopted into a good family is a wonderful thing. And we were reminded of that last week, weren't we? When we had Alan and Debbie Burt with us. Think of their children. So they've got their youngest one, Malachi. Now, Malachi is Alan and Debbie's sort of natural child. He was always going to enjoy the benefits of having Alan and Debbie as his mum and dad. But Lekona and Ilana, well, without Alan and Debbie deciding to adopt, Lekona and Ilana, well, they might well have grown up in a children's home, which would have been a much harder life probably for them. But now they've been adopted into the family. They're officially part of the Burt family. And now they enjoy exactly the same privileges as young Malachi. Wonderful news for them. Well, if you think that's amazing for them, remember, we too have been adopted if we're Christians. We've been adopted. We're not God's children by right. Don't forget that. We're very used to calling God Father, aren't we? For example, in the Lord's Prayer. But we forget that's an extraordinary thing to do, to call God Father. And much of the Bible would say that's an amazing thing to do. Now, how dare we claim to have that close family relationship with God, especially when you consider our sinfulness, how badly we treat him, how badly we treat others. We don't belong in his family. That was made very clear in the Old Testament with the nation of Israel. God called Israel his adopted son. And yet Israel turned out to be like a sort of rebellious child who turned away from him, ran away from him. It seemed like no one could ever be a true child of God until one day, at the start of the New Testament, a man went to be baptized and a voice came from heaven saying, "You are my son, whom I love. With you I am well pleased." You see, Jesus changes everything. He had that perfect relationship with God where he could call him Father. But here's the point. Anyone who is united to Jesus, anyone who is in Christ, is fully adopted as a child of God as well. I remember David a couple of years ago on our Lent course, he brought this out very well when he said, if we have turned to Jesus, it's as though God says to us, "You are my son, you are my daughter, whom I love. With you, I am well pleased." This is a brilliant thing for God himself to say to us, isn't it? We're just as much God's children as Jesus is. How about that? And we have an inheritance to look forward to in heaven. And we know without question that God is committed to us because he's utterly committed to his children. In Christ, we're adopted. Third, we are redeemed. We're redeemed. That is, we've been rescued. We've been saved. Now, we're going to be looking a bit more at that next week when we think about what it means to be crucified with Christ, to die with Christ. But for now, just notice how confident Paul is in our relationship with God. Look at verse 7. In him, there's that phrase again, in him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sins in accordance with the riches of God's grace. We've been rescued, forgiven. Now again, I think maybe we only really understand how amazing this is if we see where we would be without it. And the Bible tells us that left to ourselves, we can't escape the dangers of sin. The Bible says we're slaves to sin, naturally, and we can't escape the judgment of God. And what's more, there's nothing we can do to help ourselves. But if we're united to him, if we're united to the one who died for us, to the one who shed his blood for us, we've been set free, we have been forgiven. In Christ, we are redeemed. We're rescued. Number four, we know God's plan for the future. We know God's plan for the future. You know, people today, many of us are worried about the future, aren't we? We worry about the effects of climate change. We worry about the rise of global terrorism. Although it's also true to say, I think, in the West, we don't like to think about the future, don't talk about death, we don't think about our own mortality. We prefer to live in the present. But actually, for people who are in Christ, things should be different because God has told us where history is going. Look at verse 9. And he made known to us the mystery of his will, according to his good pleasure, which he purposed in Christ, to be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ. In Christ, we know the future. Why? Because the future belongs to him. It belongs to Jesus. God is going to bring everything under Christ. When Jesus returns, he will be on the throne forever. That is where we're going. So have you ever stopped to think about how privileged you are to know the future? You know, many of people today just don't know where the world is heading. It's like they're on a journey, they don't know the destination. But you know, if you're in Christ, you know it's all about him. You know what matters most. You can really live in the light of the future because you know where you're going. And what's more, you know that you're a part of that future because, last one, the Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance. The Holy Spirit guarantees our inheritance. Why? Look at verse 14. Verse 14 tells us the Holy Spirit is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to his praise and glory. Are you familiar with the idea of a deposit? So we replaced our car last year, and when I found the one that I wanted, I handed over a deposit, a couple of £100. And when I handed over that money, I was doing two things. I was saying, this car belongs to me. So I was kind of claiming the car for my own. But also, that down payment was a promise that I would then pay the full amount when I came to pick it up. Now, I suppose in my case, that could have gone wrong. I might not have paid up the final money. I wouldn't have got the car. But not with God. Not with God. Because when God takes hold of us so that we belong to him, he doesn't put down £200. He gives us the Holy Spirit. He comes to dwell in us by his Spirit. And that guarantees that one day he will come and he'll take us home to live with him forever in the new creation, to enjoy our inheritance. So, I've covered loads there, haven't we? But just look at that list of blessings. Look at all the privileges that come to us through being in Christ. We're chosen, adopted, redeemed. We know God's plan. We have a guarantee of our future inheritance. How amazing they are. Notice how those blessings go right back before the creation of the world, and they go right forward to our eternal future with him. What a privilege it is to be united to Christ. We have every spiritual gift, everything of eternal value. All of which leads us, I think, to one question. How do you get membership of this club? Good question, isn't it? How do you get membership? Well, let me tell you some things. You can't buy it. You can't buy it. Money can get you a lot of things in this world, but you can't get into this club by paying. You can't earn it. Hard work will get you a long way in life, but this can't be earned. And it's not passed on through your family. It doesn't come that way. No, it comes through... Well, look at verse 13. Look at verse 13. Paul says, "And you also were included in Christ." Here's how it happens. "When you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, having believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit," and he goes on. So how does it happen? It happens through believing God's word about Jesus, through believing the gospel. Okay, so here's how it works. God tells us in the Bible that Jesus is Lord. He's on the throne of heaven. He is our rightful king. But wonderfully, it tells us that through his death, he's also the saviour of anyone who turns to him. Okay, so the Bible tells us he's Lord and saviour. When you hear that, if you believe that word of the gospel, if you accept it, if you turn to Jesus, then you are united with him, you're in Christ, and every one of those spiritual blessings we looked at just now belongs to you. Can I say, even if you were to turn to Jesus for the first time today, all of those things would be true of you. It's an amazing thought. And can I say, if you'd like to know more, if this is very new to you, then do come and ask us. We'd love to tell you more of what's involved. But I want to end by just encouraging you to remember how privileged we are to be in Christ. I say that because isn't it true to say that we often live, if we're Christians, we often live as though we're a bit hard done by in life? Feel that? You know, do you ever look at your friends who don't believe and actually envy them? You know, do you ever envy their lifestyle? that they can kind of do whatever they want. They have to worry about what the Bible says. Do you ever feel as though they're the ones who are really enjoying life, whereas you feel restricted in what you can do? Do you feel that you're missing out? Do you ever feel that? Well, when we think like that, what do we need? We need God's word to give us the right perspective. And I guess what we really need is to see how different things would be if we were not united with Christ, if we were separated from him. So in this letter, when he writes to the Ephesians, Paul describes their situation before they were Christians. So just turn over one page to chapter 2 and verse 12. Chapter 2, verse 12, and see what he says. He's describing them before they were Christians. He says, "Remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in this world, in the world." And that's a tragic description, isn't it, of someone? To be without hope and without God. To be unable to call God Father. And therefore to have no future with him. And when you see that that's what it means to be separate from Christ, you start to realize how wonderful it is to be in Christ. Well, let me use, here's another picture from the Bible that might be helpful. Think of the time of Noah at the time of the flood. It's like the difference between being in the ark and outside the ark. So outside, it's terrible. It's death and God's judgment and no hope at all. But inside the ark, safety, rescue, God's favor, and a future. That is how much difference it means to be in Christ. If we're in Christ, we are people who are safe. We're rescued, we're redeemed. We know God and we have a future with him. So can I say, don't think you're missing out. Don't think you're missing out. If you know Jesus, God has given you every spiritual blessing there is. He's given you the most precious gifts he can give. How privileged we are if we are united to Christ. Let's pray. Let's pray that God would help us to receive this teaching. Paul says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who's blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ." Father, forgive us when we don't think much of these great gifts. Forgive us when we take them for granted, or when we envy those who don't know you. Thank you that we are chosen and adopted and redeemed, that we know your plan and that you've guaranteed our future. And please help us to keep trusting Jesus, even when it's hard, because we know that all of these great gifts come through him. And we ask that in Jesus' name. Amen.